Real Racing USA. Here we are live at the Snook River Grill. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm Jack Smith. I'm in a foul mood tonight.
You want to talk about NASCAR, don't you?
Go eating poultry again.
I don't want to talk about NASCAR.
Yeah, you do.
Go eating poultry again.
As soon as that race was over Sunday.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I called you guys. I was sitting
in
a bar.
Yeah.
I called you both.
Juan Montoya. He worked it, man.
Yeah.
He worked it.
I'm a diversity guy. I like diversity.
Right.
But I just thought it was, once again, ironic that the Hispanic dude goes to Hispanola and wins the race. I mean, it's just
he didn't go to Hispanola.
Muchas gracias, señor.
He's a Colombian.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Talk about it? Taco Bell.
Well, then you'll really love this, Jack. You'll really love this. Our tax dollars at work in Tallahassee. The Florida lawmakers rev up push for NASCAR license plates. That'll look good with Karnak written on it.
Yes, I'd like to spend some money and get more to NASCAR.
$25 a year. Half the money from the sales would go to charitable NASCAR foundations.
So it would go outside the state of Florida?
Yes, absolutely.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Your tax dollars at work.
This doesn't sound so good to me. I'm going back to Mexico.
Magic John. You know what? Next week we won't have to put up with Bill's voices.
You know, speaking of
sure
this,
you will. Justin's promised to fill in.
You know, as soon as we get started here, we're going to be talking about the Alamo 200.
That will be fun.
San Antonio, Texas.
You know what? Hey, you're going to Vegas this week.
I'm going to try.
What do you mean you're going to try?
It's a
Karen
job.
Would
it's
kill
a,
you.
Yeah.
You know who's going to make his first Cup debut out there, right? I know you don't want to talk about this.
Well, if he makes the race, or you talking about somebody else?
I don't
else?
Want to talk about
Eric.
Nasty car
Eric.
Sucks. I
mean, Eric Aramola.
AJ Allmendinger,
Eric's
too.
A good kid. Wish
yep.
him well.
Yeah,
wish him well. Good kid.
So you don't want to talk about Juan Pablo. You don't want to talk about that.
He didn't talk bad about Eric. That's good.
No, Eric's a good kid.
Magic Johnson's going to be the honorary
only,
crew chief.
You know what? Not only, and it's a situation with Eric very similar to, like with Ruderman, you know? The family deal is so cool there. I mean,
right.
You know, with his grandfather.
Senor Rodriguez.
Sam Rodriguez. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good people, man.
He's done a lot for racing. In fact, he made it pretty interesting there in the late 70s, early 80s.
TBRA champion.
And I believe he also was an East Bay champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he was.
Several times over.
So tonight we have some people with us from Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Road Warrior drivers. Those are the guys that race around in these, like, old beat-up junk race cars looking kind of
junk.
Oh, man.
Beat-up race cars.
Junk-looking race cars. I'm getting them ready.
Here we
ready.
Go.
I'm
yeah,
they're going to be.
You are.
But they go three wide. They go three wide through the corners. And they're the most fun of anything you could imagine. They make the late model guys look like they don't know what they're doing.
We call them bombers at this
time. Oh, my God. There it is.
Come to your seat, sir.
Am I in trouble? I like the class.
So now that R2-D2's taking a seat with us.
The teacher is in the house.
Student, aren't you?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You, I've been told by many people
oh,
that I'm a hard
geez,
learner.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get that out of here. The
I can't turn down after
the owner of Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Bobby Deal. Bobby Deal, how you doing tonight, man?
Wow. I think I got three donuts on the way here.
Did you get up at 2 a.m. this morning or did you get up at 4 a.m.?
12:38
a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you called me.
Yeah.
To do what?
Exactly.
What were you planning on doing at 12:30?
Well, you know, I had to figure out if we had a modified race somewhere in the state of Florida. You know, when you start getting these people call you and ask you and, you know, you try to start checking the websites and, you know, want to make all the right moves.
Do you miss the classroom?
I'm still in it. Except
it's
I'm
just
in
a bigger
now
classroom.
I'm in a chair.
Yeah, you're sitting at the desk, right?
Yeah.
What the captain really means is, yes!
So what did you come in here to sell us tonight?
I don't know. I just, as far as what do you mean? You got me off guard there, Jack.
That's
Bingo! Very good!
Very good.
Okay, Bill, it's all yours.
Straighten us out, man. What's happening in trucks?
Well, in the truck world, it's, going right along as far as the fast trucks are getting it back together. You got the,
that's what the captain dance.
Oh. Well, that's the dance, yeah. Well, you know, I've been told I'm dead, I'm out, and I've been done. You know, there's been five or six or maybe it's up to 10 now that people say that you're done and all the way back to the Southern Pro Trucks or whatever they used to be or the Parts Pro Trucks they used to be. American Race Trucks used to be.
Well, you are done.
Still
you
standing.
You are done. You don't carry a suitcase no more.
That's true. And I could tell you, I talked to Tommy a little bit this morning about the modified situation, or at least the not modified situation up there. And that kind of...
I'm going back to trucks, trust me.
Trucks?
Well, we may want to be... The people in Illinois
Tommy,
might want to
you're
know
Tommy.
Talking about.
Yeah. Tommy up at Bronson Motors.
Okay.
Motor Speedway?
Yeah, Bronson. Just say Bronson.
Yeah, well, we had a possible modified race up there that some people thought was going to go on and others didn't. But anyway, getting back to the trucks, which don't go to Bronson from our end.
Well, no, I wanted to get the definitive word because some people say... Ronnie Sims is running trucks. Some people say, nope, Bobby Deal's still running trucks.
No,
Ronnie Sims is just
I can tell you, you know, Brian France doesn't go to all the races, but he still runs NASCAR. Ronnie Sims has been in charge of the Fast Truck Series for 07. Ronnie Sims has a lot more credibility than I do. I mean, he's Ward Burton's marketing director.
My God, you've gotten honest.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, Bobby.
But, the problem is a lot of times, and in Fast Truck, we used to have the opportunity because of my employment that I had a lot of opportunity to talk to people every day on a daily basis. And I can tell you when Don Narone said, well, it's good Bobby owns a racetrack, now he'll know what we're talking about. I can say it shed a little bit of light on the subject. Now, rather than having just the fast trucks and then the fast kids and then the fast late models, fast drifters, now I have about 13 to 30 different divisions and a lot bigger nut to crack.
But you're still packing them in, man. It's a
How many people
it's a well-kept secret.
Grandstands? You have a couple thousand last week?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's
really interesting.
It's been a lot of hard work for a lot of people. You know, it's not about me. I've always said that. In fact, it's really interesting. One of the neatest things about being a teacher instead of a prosecutor is that you have the opportunity to change people's lives. And real quick, had a phone call from a young lady named Jamie that – and I can tell you, I've been inundated with, do you want to donate to the, single-feathered pelican group or, the left-handed kingfisherman or whatever, you know, to get donations for whatever when you have that type of speedway or whatever. I'm not sure, but, you know, this Jamie called me and just said, hey, you know, would you like to donate some tickets to the respite program because we're having an auction. That's how we... raise our funds to run our operation. I said, you know, what are you talking about? In fact, Bill Hunt turned it over to me. He goes, you need to talk to this lady. And I told Bill, don't give me anybody else. And I started thinking I sounded like John, you know, and Fabian, you know, it's just that type of deal. But
that's the way that's supposed to work, actually.
Well, you know, as a school teacher, usually you're the first line of defense and also the last.
Right.
But when you're in this type of situation.
But now you're signing paychecks.
Well, yes. And this lady, I said, you know, what's it about? What's it, you know, what is your organization? And she said, well, you know, we deal with the mentally handicapped children that grow up to be adults and also the children with the families when they can no longer deal with them. And it kind of got my interest. I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, we have 200 families here in Punta Gorda, and there's 18 families that actually, if you get to a point where you can't handle life or what it's dealt you, and you have a handicapped child, the Down syndromes or whatever, you can come over and you drop them off, and that makes an escape route for them. And I said, you know what? I don't know if I want to donate 3 tickets to you. Can you come out and talk to me? And so she came out and sat down with me, and I found out a wonderful thing. And I've been in the, in education for 25 plus years, and my wife's in special ed out of USF and dealing with the special ed community, and I never heard of it. And which, you know, sometimes we all go too fast and don't count our blessings, but this sounded like something we needed to do for these people. And when they came out and told me what they did, and, you know, I said, listen, it's not about me. It's about the community. What do you got? You got an auction coming up? And she said, yeah, we have one on the 31st. And I said, you know what we need to do? is we need to have a respite night. And what, let's do it the night the week before out at the Speedway. And I want to take those 18 families that relieve the 200-plus people in Punta Gorda and bring them out to the Speedway and give them a special night, a quality night, so their life might be a little bit different. And let's see if we can raise you some money, more than three tickets, you know, that you can auction off. And I said, let me tell you, I got a guy named Jason that will absolutely stop a clock if that's what we need to do. And he will get the whole crowd to be able to stop for a moment of silence or whatever, explain the situation of where you come from. And then what we'll do is we'll ask all the fans out there how many people would like to get in $2 off the next time they come to a Charlotte County Motorsports Park deal. And the lady started really like looking very intense at me. And then the next thing I knew was, you know, what we'll do is anybody that goes to your auction, we'll give them $2 off the next time they go to a Motorsports Park function. And she couldn't believe it. And I said, you know, hopefully we can pack the place. And she got very tearful and thinking that we'd do something for it. And she turned around and she said, you know what? I don't know if I can, you know, this is a fundraiser. And I said, what's the problem? She goes, I don't know if we can afford it. And long story short, she was asking me how much it was going to cost to get her in. Well, and I said to her, you know, I got been hit by lightning twice. I think I was DOA down at Charlotte County a long time, about 7 years ago. And I said, if I get up there to the pearly gates and I asked whoever's taking the ticket to get in that gate that I didn't take the Saints of Punta Gorda and charged them to get into a racetrack, I said, that's not what it's about. It's about the community. So anyway, that's one of the neat things about the Speedway. Let's get back to trucks.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask then, in the big picture then, the community seems to be responding. People are coming out, but the business community, are they starting to respond a little differently?
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of the hardest things is to try to beat the solicitors so I can spend the time to talk to the guys that want to advertise, because it's amazing how many people have called to get a billboard. What's your plan, you know, for exposure and this and that? And we got GM Performance coming on board, and we've got – it's endless. It's incredible.
You know, the fans at Charlotte County Speedway have always been – I mean, and a lot of the racetracks are like this. In Charlotte County, I've seen this a few times where, you know, when that little girl, Jessica Lunsford, they raised money one night for that whole family deal. And I was there. It was amazing because there was only like 600 people in the grandstands. And they raised like $2,000 in like, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And pennies and nickels and it's just absolutely amazing the amount of giving that comes out of those people. It's amazing.
One of the most interesting things is to try to calculate what you're going to do next. And I had somebody call me and go, you know, are you sure you're okay? You know, do you have your feet on the ground? Do you have your concrete trail of where you're going to go? And I said, well, you know, just like the hill that is Memorial Hill, on 9/11, that was a big day. But 9/10, everybody had their feet on the ground or heading forward. You never know. You know, I think it's more important to have a vision. But I can tell you the people that go out to the racetracks, they're the most supportive groups of all.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, you got Bill teared up over here.
He's probably just getting hot.
So it is warm in here.
No, man, I've always been a great proponent of Bobby Deal, and I know Bobby makes mistakes. No, I actually had some. I stuck my finger in there to scratch my eye. It's weird.
Okay, let's go back. That's great. But I see on the message board now there's a 14-race schedule for fast trucks. So yes. Fast trucks is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know.
I mean, that's been the question going around, Bobby.
Absolutely.
But it's the same question every year.
Well, getting back to, I used to be able to head the ship and pretty much be able to talk to people almost on a daily basis.
Right.
And, you know, by taking on the track and all the different things that your responsibilities you have to do, and whether they be community or zoning, the bottom line is there's not enough time for me, so I had to turn it over. And we tried to do this before, back in the days when I was going to be put out of business and the Nazis were taking over. We're still alive. We're still kicking. and see it to be a bigger and better place. I mean, I hopefully...
Well, from what I understand, just to get to the point here, from what I understand, Ronnie Sims, you've turned the whole operation over to Ronnie Sims, and Mr. Mike Powers down in Hialeah, who has awesome respect from people in South Florida for what he did with Hialeah Speedway
in
the last several years of its operation, that he's like very instrumental in working with Ronnie Sims, and these guys are putting together a little core nucleus of people who are going to take the trucks and run with it. Is that
well? I'm obviously, you know, Ronnie and I talk every day about what's going on, where we're going, and we're trying to get a national sponsor. And you know, Charlotte County won't be a burden to it; it'll be a blessing because we want to put garages down there. We want to be able to have a developmental program. We'd love to have DEI or RCA, you know, Richard Childress come down there as a developmental program. Not that that might not
happen.
Who's
building the garages?
we're still out for bids. Would you like to try one?
No,
they will
you'll
have to drive.
Jason's making out of contract. That's what
some contracts.
You'll have to drive to the end of the drag strip, turn left past the motorsports park and the one that's run by all those little dirt bikers, come back up the backside past the go-kart track to get into the pits. So...
Now, beyond that,
to the amazing question that
the Fast Truck Series is going to be alive and well.
Oh, sure. No doubt about
it. Now, you and John had talked at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
This is the other thing that's coming up right now about the truck series running between Charlotte and and John got on there and said that you have a ton of stuff on your plate.
Well, let me just tell you and just straighten it out, I guess, here. You know, it was a great idea, great concept.
Right.
It would have meant taking the fast trucks and putting a excessive burden on them to have to run under a bigger motor rule because the fast car elected to go to bigger cams. And John and I had talked that, you know, that really we'd have to weigh it out and find out what the difference of the two actual rule packages were. But the bottom line was that, you know, if it would have been where we could have had 30 vehicles at each place, it would have worked out perfect. But we had 9 show up, and 2 of them were non-Charlotte County fast truck type trucks.
Right.
You know, that normally run up at DeSoto and run for their championship. So, you know, we spent $3,110 for 9 trucks and had $450 come in. Now, it doesn't take long to escalate that over a 10-race program of the loss of revenue, just like the non-wing sprints.
Yeah.
You know, I told them they came to me and said, hey, we need to have a place to race. We'll show you how to make money. And I said, no problem. There's the second back gate. You're going to have to promote like I did with the trucks. And, you know, if your back gate is not what it takes to make it run, I can't help you. I can't take on a burden. They were $4,400 short the night they ran. I said, times 10 is 44,000. You know, it can't happen. So when I called John, I said, listen, you know, you had 25 trucks and I had 9. It didn't work the way we thought it was going to work. I need to look at it because we had a meeting with the fast trucks that were there, and there were about 18 representatives from the kids and the pros. And basically they said, you know, the problem with it is if we're going to run a co-race at the same time and there's 30 of them in it or 24, and there's first, second, and third might be the DeSoto Charlotte Challenge, and we finish first in fast truck, we get fourth place money. And you know, we're on the same plate, and we're held at a handicap because of the motors and perception's reality that I couldn't jeopardize those guys' support and loyalty to be able to do that. So I said, well, we'll try to have a race of our own. And I went back and said, well, there's only 2 that showed up. And when I told John that, you know, I didn't think it was good we try to collect a membership until we knew if it was going to work.
We got the idea.
Yeah, the bottom line is race fans don't care about none of that crap.
That's
all they want to know is
how many trucks
are
there
and
why they work
there. Let's go have some fun and buy some beers.
I got one last question for you, Bobby, before we cut you loose. One last question. This has been brought to me by 3 different people. In getting prepared to do a twin race program in fast trucks and fast car pro trucks, people were preparing to go run Hoosiers at one, Goodyears at the other.
Right.
Several of them that are Fast Trucks went out and bought Hoosier tires to get ready to go there, and vice versa. The Goodyear guys bought or Hoosier guys bought Goodyears. Right. Now they have these sets of tires that they're probably not going to use if they don't go run those tracks.
Not so real. John,
no, that's not how that worked at all.
John told me today on the way into this show, he told me on telephone that he was going to offer to buy the back of tires from people that didn't that wanted to.
Oh, that's cool, because nobody heard that.
I've got a brand new set of Hoosiers that I bought back from a guy that had put them on and never ran them, and I took them back into inventory. I'll use them on a race truck.
No, that's fine. I'm just glad to hear you guys are doing that, because the guys are asking
me. Plus, he's letting them use the Goodyears for two races, I believe.
Yeah, two races. Oh, cool. I mean, I will tell you, there's no doubt in my mind, and not just because I sell them, but Goodyear's a better product. Or, you know, would probably be on Hoosier. But that's...
More importantly, Bobby Deal's getting lots of sleep these nights. You're taking care of yourself. You're having fun at the track. It's coming along. You're packing the place. You've got great people like Jason and these other people working with you, and it's going... In a positive direction.
It's like I've always said, it's never about me. I mean, when I was in my classroom, I wasn't a teacher, I was a facilitator. I let the class teach themselves. I mean, this here, just somebody has to be responsible.
Well, you can say it's not about you, just like I could say, nah, Karnak's not about me. You can say this crap all day long. You know what? When you screw up, it's us that get nailed to the cross.
Well, that's what we do. That's as a facilitator, you got to catch them up. You got to put a Band-Aid on it. You got to get them up and let them run again, and you don't hold them accountable
Facilitator.
Remember that.
Yes.
Thanks, Bobby.
That's good, man.
But that's the way it is. I mean, there's so many people. For instance, today, there were about 18 different times during the day that people came up to do different things, whether it was to help empty trash cans or take and work on shrubs or you know, take the fire truck over, or excuse me, the rescue truck, it's not a fire truck, over to get the pump fixed up. I mean, these people are still just daily bound. Let me tell you what, though, and I got to get back off of this subject is cool. We picked up the helmet.
The helmet.
The helmet's bigger than life.
Cool.
It is 12 feet in diameter, 14 feet high, and it's the most incredible piece of workmanship you've ever seen.
That's wonderful, and I was just getting ready to say, just a minute ago, it's almost uncanny how this works. I was just getting ready to say, the best thing that you have done at Charlotte County Speedway is that you have given my friend, Bill Hunt, gainful employment.
Well, you know, we got him out of your hair. No, actually, tell you the truth, Bill's a savior. He's not just, you know, my stand-in for
Beemeldorf. No, he's not only Santa Claus, he's Jesus.
Good evening, Bill.
No, he's Beemeldorf. No,
praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition.
Without his wand, Beemeldorf.
Yeah. Thanks,
I mean,
buddy.
You got Beemeldorf, Little Vic, and the Fat Man. That's me.
Bobby, what's up this weekend at Charlotte County Speedway?
Man, we got the greatest thing in the world. We have, I will bet, more than 40, because now I know we got a little bit of precipitation last week, and Ocala had to change their modified
race. That's called rain.
Yeah, in fact, we've already got an answer for that. We're going to have rain races.
Good.
No, got a new class starting up for rain races. Good. But anyway, when we looked at the schedule originally, nobody was racing, and then the Gulf Coast ended up coming out with their schedule and ended up at Bronson, but now it's a monster truck race, so that's why the 1248 post about what's going on at Bronson. But the bottom line is we expect to have 40-plus modifieds at Charlotte County this weekend.
Cool.
That's cool. And if you don't, you'll come back and try it again until you do get it right.
Well, you know, it's not a do or die. They all came and said, hey, we if you do it, we'll support it. In the last modified race I went to, there were five. And Leroy said, end it. You can't afford it. But you know, that's one of those divisions. Now, Citrus puts on a heck of a modified program. Ocala puts on a heck of a modified program.
They're excited.
You know, the Gulf Coast modifieds used to be one of the things. Hey, I remember a series that was just a most incredible series called Sarah. But that guy had that ripped out from under him, too. So bottom line is, how long is it going to last?
Shocking news right here.
Yep.
Shocking news.
Yep.
Shocking.
Poor Rick Day.
We're bouncing up against the board.
Well, listen, tonight we're going to talk to your announcer and kind of like one of your right-hand guys.
Let me tell you
Jason Becker.
He's the one that canceled the race. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to some of your road
They always think
guys.
Us announcers have something to do.
No,
they
no,
always
not,
come
but,
up to us
but,
and they
but,
go,
but
what,
truly,
what's going on? It's raining.
I called him on that.
Absolutely. Let me tell you. There again, a race director only directs a race. If everybody's doing their job, you should never hear. Okay? An announcer is a key part of what's going on. And Jason was on with on the telephone to me the whole time we're trying to drive the car off and or track off with the cars. And, you know, he's asking, what do you think? And we look at the radar. There is no rain. Bobby, but the wipers are on.
Bobby, we were talking about this the other night. Trust me, you don't have to build these guys' heads up. They're plenty big on their own. Trust me.
Bill, how about taking us out to our first break, brother?
I like the part where you say, okay, folks, it's been called. And then as you walk out of the tower, they all come to you and go, what'd you call it? We could have raced.
It's okay, Jack. I have a Schrader valve in my head.
Hey, we'll be back to Real Racing USA right after these messages from our fine sponsors. Don't go away.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
Well, that's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Back live at the Snook River Grill, Real Racing USA. Man, we got a show going on now. Bill, who we got coming up with us today?
Oh, man, we're going to talk to Steve Meyer. You remember him, folks. He's the guy that helped us do an awesome bit of coverage called the Snowball Derby, and we had a great time with that. Talk to Colt James, a young man making a name for himself in the ASA Challenge late model program. And we'll also talk to our good buddy, the old man of media in Central Florida.
Bill Codger.
It would be John Barker. We'll also get a chance to talk to the new owner, or I guess promoter at least, at Lake City Speedway, or Columbia Motorsports Park, I guess it's called now. And that's Tim Lake.
Don't let Robert Hart say that.
And don't forget, we've got a bunch of the guys from Charlotte County Motorsports Park Road Warriors in the house. How you doing, guys?
Yay.
Scott Jackman, Good Year Challenge, Florida Mini Stock.
And last but not least, Stephen Darvalix's job dropped by to talk to us. He's going to go play with the USCS at Peach State in Georgia coming March 17th.
Let's get this ball rolling.
Yep. On the line with us now, talking live from somewhere up in the chillier part of Florida in the panhandle, would be Steve Meyer. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Listen, man, I think we thanked you a few times, but I want to thank you one more time for your efforts during our Snowball Derby coverage, because that was fairly impromptu. We put that together in about 72 hours.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a blast to get reports during the cautions about what was happening. Plus, we also got an opportunity to get to keep running those as a stream so that people could keep listening and they keep catching up on what was happening and hearing the pieces and stuff. So that was really
cool. That's old news, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, that was really cool. Steve, tell us about the gas race, the George Asphalt Series, coming to Five Flags this Saturday night.
Well, what we got going on, the George Asphalt Series has been really thriving in Georgia, and they were averaging last year like 30 to 35 cars per race. They even had one with 50 cars, but they've been expanding a little bit. They went into South Carolina and Alabama, and they've been actually almost begging to come down here for a couple of years. So Tim Bryant, the promoter, decided to go ahead and put them on the schedule this year, and we're expecting a strong field of over 30 cars at least when you add in our guys, and it's looking really good. They're the pro late models, they call them. They're the two barrels and the crate motors. They're not the super late models, but they put on a great show. They're usually maybe a half a second slower, but hey, when they're out there racing, you can't really tell.
Now, Steve, these cars are basically two frame late models, but they're what we call a limited late model kind of down here without the front clip, right?
Well, no, actually, you know what they are? They're the same as a super late model with a different engine.
All right.
That's pretty much the only difference. You could take one of these and put a 9-to-1 in it and run a super late model race.
Okay. So basically more economical than a super late model.
Right. And most of them are all going to the crate motors. A lot of them were using the built steelhead motors with the two barrels, but they found out that for half the price, they can get a crate motor, and really the crate motors outrun the other ones. So that's what they've been doing.
So there's actually an unlimited number of these late models out there in reality, because you can swap them back and forth.
Tracks, like on our weekly shows, we've went to the pro late model, and then we run our Blizzard series, the five race series that leads up to the Snowball Derby. We run five of those for the super late models.
Uh-huh.
But most of your tracks have went to the pro late models because they're a little more economical. I mean, you still have the expense for the tires, things still the same, but you know, I mean, there's a big difference in a $5,000 to $6,000 motor and a $30,000 to $35,000 motor. You know,
Steve, let's handicap this race this weekend. Who are some of the guys that can take home the money?
Well, I mean, right now the point leader. I'm not sure if you're familiar with some of these guys, but Russell Fleeman, he's from Dacula, Georgia. He won the first one. You got Frederick Moore, who's won the championship, I think, at least twice. He's also from Georgia. Most of them are from Georgia, since that's where it's based. Ronnie Sanders, we're probably expecting him. He's a former Snowball Derby winner. Matter of fact, he won it way back in 78. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with this. He's the one that was his notoriety came when he chased Bobby Allison around the track with a crowbar years ago. but he should be here. There's a lot of them. Joey Center, they all run pretty close. They have a lot of different winners in that division.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a great series and stuff. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us. You're going to hopefully become kind of a Short Track America late model reporter for us. You're going to keep us up on what's happening in late models every once in a while?
Yeah, I'll try my best to keep up. Now, of course, I mainly represent Five Flags Speedway, but I do keep up with what's going on in the Southeast. Matter of fact, we just had, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we had the Rattler, and that's at South Alabama Speedway. This was actually, I believe, around the 30th running of that event. That was a 250-lap super late model race that paid $10,000 to win. It's probably about an hour and a half out of Pensacola.
Who won that one?
Augie Grill out of Birmingham. You've heard of Frankie Grill Chassis, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's his son. And one of the wildest finishes I've ever seen. Augie Grill got into Hunter Robbins. He's the 15-year-old phenom from Alabama that actually won the Snowflake 100 2 years ago when he was 14. He's 15 now. And Augie Grill got into him in turn 3 and 4 and got under him. And Hunter Robbins never did correct his car. So when they were coming to the line, Hunter Robbins got into Augie's right rear, sent him into the wall head-on across the finish line. Augie Grill hit the outside wall, and Hunter Robbins hit the inside wall. That was your first two cars that went went into a victory lane on a flatbed.
Amazing.
It was a wild one.
And now I know what Juan Pablo Montoya was watching before he went to Mexico.
There you go.
Exactly.
Hey, Steve, did you follow the ASA late model series at all out there at the Alamo 200 in San Antonio?
I saw where Colt James won, and he was actually here with us for the Snowflake 100. And I've read a lot about him. I know he's a real hot shoe.
Well, guess what? We're going to have to let you go because we got him on hold.
Oh, you got him online now?
Yeah, we're getting ready to talk to him right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I was going to tell you about our Blizzard race.
Well, go ahead.
Make it quick.
Talk about that next week.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, the Blizzard race, that's our first one of the series. It'll be coming up April the 13th.
Oh, we got plenty of time, to talk about that.
Those all lead up to the Snowball Derby. And all of our Blizzard races are double headers with Mobile Speedway. So that makes it good for these drivers that come from a long way. They can run here on Friday night, and then they run at Mobile on Saturday night. And the tracks are only about 60 miles apart. And, last year we had over 60 drivers that competed in the Blizzard Series and averaged around 30 cars. And it's looking, just judging from my initial phone calls, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have 35 to 40 supers for our first one.
Did I tell you this guy could carry an entire half hour or hour show by himself?
No doubt.
All right, that's what I'm telling you.
I'll let y'all get to him. He's probably real happy about winning that race. And,
thanks, man.
About this next week because that race is still about 5 weeks away. So.
All right, thanks a bunch, Steve.
Okay, y'all take care.
Steve Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, you better listen up for that name. You're going to hear it some more, I bet.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures from the Rattler race. Augie Grill's crashed car in Victory Lane with a nice trophy. Our own Jeff Schofield ran that race.
Jeff Schofield?
Yeah, finished 25th out of 30 cars.
That's right. He said he was going over there to run now. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a hell of a way to finish a race. Isn't it? Good money in that race, though. So what's going on, Jack?
That was
Bill's dialing. You know, that's Steve Meyer.
The old codger.
Yeah.
John Barker.
You named him that.
Yeah, I gave him that name.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was humorous how that all happened.
Yeah.
That was him. He just called me. Do I still have to wait? I said, yes.
Calm down.
Maybe you'll have to take another nap or something. But meanwhile, I think we're going to talk to Colt James, who is now resides in North Carolina, and he's from Buda, Texas. Colt James, good evening, and welcome to Short Track America's Real Racing USA. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Of course, the first thing that comes to my mind, as goofy as I am, is Buda, Texas. What religion is neighborhood to the area?
God, here we go.
It's spelled B-U-D-A, Bill.
I know, but it sounds the same.
It's actually pronounced Buda, but...
Buda. See, there you go. We were messing it up.
So that's where you're from, which it's about 50 miles up the road from San Antonio Speedway, and then you take off and you're working up there in North Carolina with Roush Racing. You go back home and take all the money.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice when it works out that way, but I just had a great weekend and turned out really well and definitely exceeded our goal for the weekend, so...
How many races do you get a chance to get away from the shop and go run?
Usually however many I really want to. I mean, they're real flexible with me, but last year we just got a late start, and this year we're going to try and run the full ASA South deal this year.
So you never travel with the team, so to speak, to the races for the NASCAR stuff. You stay at the shop, do some work in them, and you're a motor guy from what I understand, correct?
Yeah, usually the only race I have to go to is Daytona 500.
So, Colt, what's this race mean to you? What was it like to win this big race?
I mean, the money was a big thing. I mean, because we're a real low-budget team. And between me and my parents, I mean, we pretty much split everything. And just to win it in front of everybody that I grew up around and all my friends and family were there, I mean, it was huge and definitely the biggest win of my career so far.
So did you take everybody out with the 10 grand you took home?
And no, I will though whenever I get it. So
you haven't got the money yet?
No. They took the top three, mine, Eddie Hoffman, and I believe Sean Murphy's engines after the race. I guess they were gonna dyno them, and just because ASA has a sealed motor and just make sure everything was right there.
So now you work for Roush Racing, right?
Yes, sir.
And you build motors for Roush, don't you?
Yes.
How did you come about getting that job?
I moved up to North Carolina whenever I was 18, just knew a buddy of mine who had been working there for a couple of years, and just got an opportunity to get in, and I've been there ever since, and that was about four years ago.
So, I mean, were you racing prior to that?
Oh, yeah. I started racing big cars whenever I was 13, and got into, like, limited late models and stuff whenever I was 14, and just been kind of doing that ever since, and just got into the ASA stuff last year.
Well, now that you're up in the NASCAR world, you're building those motors and stuff, the way the ASA has got it set up with the crate motors has got to be pretty impressive to you as far as a money-saving advantage.
Oh, very much so. I mean, because I ran super late models for a couple of years before that, and I mean that's just a what's killing super late model racing right now is just the price of everything, and especially the motors. And just to come into a series and spend $7,000 on a sealed motor and have it last a whole season is pretty impressive. You know, I mean, can't ask for much more. I know some of them super late model guys are spending $30,000-$40,000 just to get an engine built.
Now, come on, you haven't taken a crate motor back to Roush, put it on a dyno, and tried to do whatever you could get away with without breaking some bolts open?
I know everybody probably thinks that with where I work at, but honestly, I've never done anything like that and would never even try doing anything like that.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that you have to. Now, tell me a little bit about this last race you were in.
It just turned out really well. We raced there last year at the end of the year with the ASA South, and led every lap of that and got scooted out of the way, I guess you could call it, on the last lap, and ended up finishing second. And just had a really good setup for the track and went there and were decent in practice and went out and busted off a lap that I really wasn't expecting in qualifying. And then the car just never lost its handling during the race. It got better on the long runs and just was magnificent.
Now, you know who he passed to take the lead?
Yeah, I was going to hopefully he was going to come to that. I figured I wanted to hear about that final lap kind of stuff.
No, it was lap 67.
67.
He passed Dalton Zaire.
Oh, Dalton.
Yeah, to take the lead.
The old one.
Dalton's one of our local guys down here.
Yes.
So, this is huge for you, winning at home, but especially this ASA deal. I mean, like I said, you're up there in the top ranks with the big guys. But ASA had kind of faded away, and this has got to be great for it coming back this way.
Yeah, I mean, it gives a lot of the lower budget guys the opportunity to just do more than race. I mean, do good. I mean, I was getting kind of stuck in that position, where I was only being able to race, once or twice a month, just because that's all I could afford. And just Ron Varney and Sandy Varney, they've done an excellent job on the rules package and they got shock rules on how much you can spend on shocks and whatnot, and it just doesn't get outrageous, so a low budget guy can come in there and still win races and do good.
Does it give you any advantage working for the Cat in the Hat?
No, not really. I mean, because on the engine side, I mean, there really isn't any advantages to that. I mean, other than just having buddies that work over on the car side, but other than that, I mean it's pretty much trial and error, and just been doing learning a lot, because last year was the first year I've really kept the car up myself, and just been learning a lot and learning more about setups and stuff and shocks and whatnot, and it's starting to pay off.
Colt, you're doing your regular day job is something that tens of thousands of young people across this country would just like die for
or kill for.
To work at Roush Racing in what you're doing. What's a typical day like in the engine building place over there at Roush Racing? What's it like?
I guess it all depends on how the weekend went before. Usually it's pretty good. We show up really early and get usually have a team meeting on what we're going to be getting done that week, and just do our best to get it out, and then however late we got to stay, and it's pretty relaxing, actually. It's not as stressful as a lot of people would think, but it can get there, but we just try our best, and we've been doing really good here late.
Do you get a lot of interaction with the drivers? I mean, were you able, when Mark Martin was there day in and day out, did you get a chance to talk to him quite often, or you didn't deal with the drivers too much at all because you're doing what you do?
Drivers more likely hang around the car side more than the engine side. We get to see them maybe once or twice a month, so they don't really hang out too much at the engine side. They're at the car shops a lot, though.
Who is it that's kind of been your mentor in the organization that got you from getting the front door as a jack of all trades to a guy in the engine shop?
I originally knew a guy named Mike Blackwell that was working there, and he originally got me in. And when I started off, I just started staying late, helping everybody, you know, and whatever they needed, and eventually just started moving up the ladder. And we have a bunch of guys that have been there for, you know, 15, 20 years, and they're all good guys to look up to and learn from.
Hey, let me ask you this then. Whenever Jack goes to do his next gong show, will you be putting in an application and hope the boss takes a look at you?
I definitely will this time. So hopefully I'll get a approval or a pick this time, or at least a shot.
That's cool, man. We think you'd have a pretty good shot at it, because I know you're very personable. You make a great photo when it comes to winner circles and so forth, and you have a good aptitude for being able to not only talk to the media but deal with knowing what the car is all about. So that's always feathers in your cap.
So we'll find you on the whole ASA late model Southern Division circuit there?
Yeah, our next race is actually not this weekend, but next weekend down in Bronson.
Oh, good. We'll see you there.
The 17th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and heard it's a real fun track.
Oh, it's a racy little track.
It's a bull ring. They call it the bull ring, and when you get there, and you know it's a bull ring.
You'll be looking for the bull.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
All right, man. You have a good time, and keep in touch with us, man. We'd like to hear more about your racing career and watch you grow and get better all the way, man.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks a lot, Colt.
Thanks.
All right, Colt.
Bye. Wow, how cool is that? Colt James. Man,
Colt James.
How many of you in this room would kill for a job to work for Roush Racing, even if Roush never looked at you? I mean,
what
you know.
What a name. Colt Evan. James.
Could you see Jack as the media guy for a NASCAR team?
I'd like to be in that meeting.
You know, Colt doesn't have a website.
Yes, I was looking.
Mr. Cat in the Hat, sit down. I want to talk to you about your media crap.
Hey, let's take a quick break and then come back to the old codger.
Let's get the codger on the phone.
The old codger.
As a matter of fact, you could just...
Should we do that?
Do your commercial. Do that commercial that you were going to do. I want to watch you do this.
Okay.
I want to watch Bill do a live commercial.
Yeah, this should be...
He's a professional.
The professional.
Yeah, professional. Y'all got the checks. Good. I didn't get a check.
That's right.
This should be really good. We'll see how well he does here. This is if I can find the paperwork.
Go, Bill, go. Go, Marsh. Bill, go.
No, I got
this is the Evergreen Land.
Take one.
Evergreen Development Construction commercial.
Take one.
I got to get it right. Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase and for complete development. Include drainage, utilities, road construction. They can do it all. One call gets it all done at Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. That's 813-478-8847. And watch for Perry Brown. And watch for Perry Brown, driver of the Evergreen Development Construction Company, late model and open wheel
modified. Very good, Bill.
He's
very
fast,
good.
And so is bad. Evergreen Development Construction Company. Thank you very much.
Phone's going off.
Did all that
the computer's
with
playing on you.
Short Track America Motorsports.
Rock and roll, Bill.
CarNAC.com.
Right. Let's get the old codger fired
up here. News from all over the world.
That's CarNAC. CarNAC.com. CarNAC.com.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Dittos, dittos, dittos.
Lovely dittos.
Dittos.
Live from the Snook River Grill, Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angie's still.
Rick Angie.
The Rickster. Hey, listen, we've got one of the guys who originally made me famous, as he has always done such a great job with that Central Florida racing scene, and that would be Mr. John Barker himself.
We drug him out of retirement, and he's back on the wheel. John Barker, how you doing this evening?
Well, how are we doing today, guys?
We're doing fine.
Turn to the power.
We're doing fine tonight. We took our Geritol today, Mr. Barker, and we're on it. We are on it.
Well, as long as you're on top of the game, as I told Bill, as long as I wake up and see myself in the mirror, I'm all right.
All right. So tell us, how was San Antonio?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Other than the fact of some tough weather, what a great job they do there. I mean, one of the major problems, of course, was it was cold. When I say cold, it was somewhere between 39 and 41 degrees for that race. So it made it kind of tough for everybody, a lot of setup and handling problems for the night. But the young guy that won, Colt Smith, what a young, hard-working driver he is. He deserved what he got, and that, of course, was victory lane. He got his biggest payday ever in a feature race, $10,000 for the win, $1,000 for the pole, and there was an actual count there of, I think, about 35 cars. They lost three of them prior to the race. But it wasn't that easy of a deal, and the track itself, he turned that as a half mile on this ARP Bodies Aluminum Race Products Fast Qualifying Award with a time of 18.480 seconds. That broke down to a speed of 97.403 miles per hour on a half-mile track. It's high-banked in turns 1 and 2 and turns 3 and 4, and both straightaways front and back are pretty flat.
I forgot how detailed he was. He's always been.
John knows his business.
I know. Yeah. John's always done that stuff. Hey, John, how cool was it also to get to see one of the guys you used to report on his Sarah series day in and day out, almost down here for a couple of years? Was it give you an opportunity to say hi to Rick Day again?
Well, let me tell you the little funny story about Rick.
Go ahead.
When I went there, they said, John, you know, I'm going to make sure, Rick says, that I really fix you up. He says, so you'll be able to stay up in the press box. I said, gee, that's awful nice of you, Rick. So I got there, and I twisted my ankle. And they didn't have any handrail for me to grab on. I could only make it halfway up them stairs. I said, that's too much for me. So I went back to the office, and I said, I'm going to go out and watch the race. And one of the gals that works for Rick says, well, you can't go out like that. You got to have something warmer than that. So she says, I know what you can use. And I says, what's that? Says Rick is up on the microphone right now. He don't need his coat. So I'm going to get you his coat. She bought his coat out to me, and here's the punch. I put this coat on, and if you know me, I weigh roughly 260 pounds. I put this coat on, and the sleeves were over my fingertips. And when I zipped it up, there was probably room for to put two grandkids under it, too. And I looked at the size of this coat and was a 6X. I could not believe how big it was.
Hey, Rick's lost some weight. 6X.
But now it was a great race.
So you're saying Rick Day is not on the Atkins diet these days?
He's not on what?
The Atkins diet.
He's Atkins himself right up to the buffet, apparently.
That's right. John don't have his hearing aid turned
up. He hasn't been to that good buffet since he's known me. That was one thing about Rick when he held a banquet for his Sarah series, that late model series, they used to put on some food.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt. How was the facility he's running? How has he got it all cleaned up, looking nice? How's it look?
Well, the Texas Speedway was 31 years old, and the guy that took it over leased it, and he has put lots of dollars into making it as best as he can. Even for the cold night it was, he still had a big crowd, and I think that a lot of people could learn a few things from this guy. He's a real diplomat and a real politician, and I mean, what a great job he does, and the people like him, which, of course, is important. And the people he put to work for him on his staff, just to give you an example, the one girl was a race fan there for 27 years, and she's retired from the phone company, and he put her into work. I mean, they got all the bases touched. You know, there's no doubt about that.
Well, I tell you what, it's awful cool to hear you covering any kind of motorsports again. And, you need to stay in the loop here.
Yeah, and we'll get
Jack,
to
we got a question.
Yeah,
here.
We'll get to that question, but first, I want to save that till the last. John, what is you're going to be covering a lot of the ASA
20 races.
20 races. Awesome.
And, this was not this was a separate division race of normally what I'll be covering. I'll be covering most of the races, which will be Southern Division races.
Well, what happened here? Did your wife get mad at you and say, I've had enough of you being around the house?
Take some weekends
What's all
away.
This about?
She loves it for me to go on the road. She gets a book and she can say, goodbye, have a good time. But it felt good to get out.
Hey, that's John, besides Short Track America and helping us out along the way, who else are you reporting to? Are you doing this for some special organization or another news agency of some
kind?
No,
I'm working with a driver. And his mother asked me to kind of take over the PR helm for him. And that's Chris Fontaine, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the cool thing is we'll get,
exclusive
rights to all your material, apparently.
You'll be at Nashville? You'll be at Nashville? You'll be at Bristol?
Well, I'm going all over.
Yeah.
Our next race is coming up on the 16th and 17th of March. The actual race is on Saturday. That'll be at Bronson Motor Speedway, and that'll be the Gator 100, and that race is presented by Pennzoil.
You going to stay in a motel in downtown Bronson, the Holiday Inn down there?
The last time
stay out by the interstate.
And I ended up having to cook a spaghetti dinner. I don't think I'll go that detail anymore.
Well, you know, John, we'll be talking to you, obviously.
This could be fun.
After, all these adventures you go on, because I know, as a matter of fact, I just happened to think of it. You ought to take your buddy up there who's hanging out in retirement with you and get him on some of these trips with you. You know who I'm talking about.
Well, I tell you, Dick Westfall's pretty tired.
Dick's pretty tired?
He is tired.
Yeah.
And when I mentioned to him about going, he says, John, a couple of years ago, I'd have jumped at the chance to go. I'm just not with it now.
Well, yeah, well, maybe I'll tag along with you on one of those races. But I did want to ask you something here. We had we interact with the message boards, and people send us email during the show, and we have a question here. And somebody, Rick, what is the exact question that
says? Ask Barker if he has heard anything about Auburndale.
Well, there's a lot of. How can I say that? Yeah, you could sound a charge, but the only charge is. Going to be when people line up to buy that track. So far, he has been unable to produce any money for the city for several months.
He being John Beard, correct?
Being Carl
JT.
Beard, right.
Okay. Carl.
One of the big deals that a lot of people don't understand, supposed to make that balloon payment, which was $150,000, and if he made that, well, then he was up to date. The only problem was that once he made that balloon payment, the payment then went up over $17,000 a month. And he doesn't have the kind of cars or fans to facilitate that kind of growth at that track.
Bottom line.
The bottom line is going to get auctioned. I believe, it's my belief, that it will be auctioned off by the city on the courthouse steps.
You know how long it'll take to get there?
Well, probably, I'm going to guess, and this is only a guess in my mind, in less than 40 days.
Boom. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
by some very reputable information.
Well, I buy Thanks, John. Johnson. Anything John will sell, I buy it, buddy.
Well, you know, there's a few interested parties, and all of them have tried to deal directly with J.T. Beard, and there always ends up being a hang-up of some kind. And, you know, whatever that hang-up might be, that's his problem.
Well, you know, we don't have a week goes by that we don't get at least two or three people calling us asking what is going on. They, you know, because people don't want to, drivers don't want to build cars.
Right.
They don't want to get involved with something Somebody's there and then, yeah. you know, not have it work out. And
exactly.
It's a tough thing there.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier on the racers, and especially Polk County being a Central Florida racing mecca, so to speak, to know.
I tell you what, we're going to have to run, John, but I want you to do something. I want you to get in line and you buy that place. Just let me come sell beer there, okay? I'll retire and sell beer.
If I took it over, just don't forget I'm in charge of the concession stand.
There you go.
Other than that, guys, I appreciate your call.
Talk to you soon, John.
John, we're looking forward to you reporting on all the ASA races you go to and the other stuff that comes around.
I'll do it.
Thanks, all right, brother. John.
Yes, bye-bye.
It's really funny. I got to throw this quick thing out there. You know, John Barker and I met because he wrote an article he wrote it in the Lakeland Lakeland Ledger.
Yeah, he was the motorsports writer for Lakeland Ledger.
He was the writer there, and he took J.T. Beard, the owner of Auburndale Speedway, apart, and I took his article and wrote a counter article just for the sake of. The sake of it,
as Jack would do,
and I took the other point of view, and I made jokes about him, his geritol, and called him an old codger. I never met the man, you know, I didn't even know who he was, and several months later, I'm standing at New Smyrna Speedway. Rick was with me. We're standing there, and Don DeRone comes over and brings this old man over next to me. He says, "Jack, you know John Barker, don't you?" That was my first meeting with John. And of course,
it was really good, though.
It actually.
I bet we stood there for a half an hour.
It was really cool. He took it. It was a little edgy at first, but we became pretty good. John and I talk at least a couple of times a week. He's a great guy, and now I can call him the old codger and get away with
he
it.
He took me to task.
Well, actually, that's what he said when he come walking up to us.
Yeah.
I'm the old codger.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Bill, take us a break, man.
All right, man. Appreciate every. Oh, okay. Appreciate everything John Barker's done for racing in Central Florida. We'll be back, and we'll be talking to Tim Lake, and we'll also get a chance to talk to Scott Jackman.
And then we're going
to
play with
We got some CCMP guys here that look like they're ready to start throwing things. So we'll get
straight
to
car drivers and all kinds of stuff.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, KARNAC.com.
Carnac.com.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, KARNAC.com.
Carnac.com.
Take care, Father.
All right, welcome back to Real Racing the USA as we go off the beaten track. We just talked about talking to some guys, but we're going to talk to some guys. I mean, face-to-face kind of talk to some guys.
Your buddies left you to the wolves.
That's right. We got Jason jumped in the seat to help co-pilot this part of the program because we've got a lot of the guys who are road warriors, and they have come up from Charlotte County Motorsports Park to join us tonight and talk about some of the things that are going on down there. Donnie Ollie Jr., Jesse Gargus, Wally Smith, Shane Leonard, and Jason Beckner, I believe, are our guests here. Got it right off the listing. First off, guys, Road Warriors, somebody take the second to tell people, Road Warriors compared to street stocks, what's the difference?
We run on street tires. We run a, we're a stock class. I cross my fingers when I say that. But we run a lot. Most of us run crate motors and stuff. We're just we're the ones that's exciting. We're the ones that sells a lot of beer because they wait around. The
yeah, that's right. My second question would be this: how have you seen the changes in the starting this year at Christmas and up till now at Charlotte County Motorsports Park? Most of you have been there for a while, been racing for quite a while. Tell us a little bit about what you think of some of the changes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes there as far as the track looks tremendous now. The cleanup efforts from everybody who donated their time, so heavy equipment and people coming out there and donating their times. And Bobby's done a real good job with the help of a lot of the people that work there and, the, you know, people volunteering to do work around there with Jason there and, you know, just everybody putting their 2 cents worth in there and helping out and making the place a lot better place for the community and a better place to race for all the fans that come out and watch also.
The community thing is probably the biggest just by the show of people that have been out to the track just in the past, I'd say, month alone, maybe the past 2 months. I mean, the crowds have just gotten a lot bigger. The Road Warrior class, it kind of dropped off, and now it's picking back up again. And it's the class that everybody comes out to see. It really is. The backbone classes of Charlotte County Motorsports Park are the ones that keep the track alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, all the backbone classes from the Road Warriors, the Junkyard Dogs, the Cowboy Cadillacs, they all seem to not only be just growing, but they're also a lot of exciting racing. These guys have been banging with each other for a number of years. They know how to, you know, get past each other or not get past each other, keep them behind you. And so that seems to make it more exciting.
You know, Wally's been around the track a real long time, and Jesse has been around the track. In fact, I've raced against Jesse. I think I've raced against Wally before in the Road Warrior class. And then you got, I'm going to call him a young guy, even though he's probably not very young. But I tell you what, he's up here, Shane Leonard in the 18 car, and then Donnie Ollie Jr. in the 09 car. These two guys are some of the newest guys here racing the track. Shane, you've been there, what, 2 years now?
No, about five now.
Five, really. I didn't know that, and I'm sorry. So now I've been educated, too. Donnie, how long have you been there?
This is my second season.
These two, for the past 2 years, these two have really been going at it tooth and nail. Probably some of the most exciting driving right here between these two drivers, Donnie Ollie Jr. and Shane Leonard. And that's what the people come out to
go
see.
Go ahead, just
and
jump in, man.
The reason why it's exciting is because they just push us guys all the way and go at it. That's it. They're the two hot shoes, and we know just get over and let them go because it's, you know, we watch them race because we're race fans too, and it's enjoyable to watch these two guys go at it.
Jesse's a trip to watch.
I know. I've
you
seen
know,
Jesse.
I tell you what, you've got your probably your 5 to 7 cars that run up front religiously every week. And Jesse's about the 7th one, and he's back there just chomping at the bit, waiting for somebody to make a mistake.
I'm coming.
He is the best to capitalize on it in a heartbeat.
Now, I got to ask Shane and these younger guys then, what was it that made it so suddenly you got a hold of the track and you learned how to drive that track? What made the difference in the way you drove before and now that you're running up front all the time?
Just a little more experience and getting used to how to set the car up a little bit more. The longer you run, the more you learn.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And being able to watch guys like Shane and the older guys run around the track, you learn a lot from them.
Did you actually follow them at times?
Oh, yeah. Watch them practice, following them. You learn a lot. Or when they're behind you, you collect all that in and use it next time.
Now, which one of you four, which two of you have hit each other the most or made some kind of mess of things?
I think me and Jesse had a couple years of going at it with each other.
Okay.
We couldn't go by each other without whacking each other. That's the way it is.
A lot of bent clips and new fenders and so forth.
Yeah, I used to run up front and win a lot, but till these two guys come to town.
Now, see, Bill, this is kind of funny, too, because it's like you had some hits in the Road Warrior class, and you've never driven in it.
Okay.
Because it was a few weeks ago. I mean, you'd been helping out there when we first got started and everything and helping out. And I have to apologize for running into you because I got so excited between a race between Jesse. It was Jesse, Shane, and Donnie coming down the back straightaway. There was a couple other drivers involved, I think.
They were going around somebody. Somebody was slower, and they were trying to pass them at the same time they were trying to pass each other.
And I have to apologize to you because I kicked my bar stool up in the tower back behind me. I got so excited
and I hit him square.
But I do have to apologize for that.
I ain't worried about it.
But once again, that's why the people come in and pack the stands. These guys right here, it's one of the most exciting classes. That's why I'm a fan more than I am an announcer at the track. And I can't wait. Every day I get there, I can't wait to see these guys race.
Now, you guys, you're getting a lot more laps, a lot more races when it comes to, you know, cars and stuff. Is that starting to make it a lot more fun just to be there no matter how well you're running that particular night?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When you're in the car, it's fun no matter what's going on. As soon as you strap in, the adrenaline starts pumping and you start going.
Now, you guys also account for quite a number of people in the stands, apparently, because they go kind of wacko. There's a group down here screaming for one of you, a group down there, and they'll be yelling back and forth sometimes if you're next to each other on the racetrack touching each other.
It gets pretty rowdy out there at times with the fans rooting, you know, their driver, whether it's one of us drivers or somebody else in the field running. But it can get pretty exciting in the stands for everybody, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You and the driver after the race would be laughing about bumping and banging on the track, and your family's up in the stands fighting about it.
They wanted a fist fight, man. We didn't even know it.
Went to a fist fight and a race broke out. Hey, also, the other thing that comes into mind is there are still newer guys getting in every year, even every week of this year. I notice you get a new car out, you get something. Do you take time to at some point when you run up on him in two laps, you go over and kind of talk to him and help speed him up, get him out of the way kind of thing? How much interaction do the guys get?
Well, you try to give them as much as you can because, you know, if they're running slow and they're not going to want to come back and run around the track last. So if you can help them out and get them running faster and up front, they're going to want to come back every weekend.
Yeah, I try to help as many as I can. I figure the faster I make them, the more they're going to get out of my way and the better their car handles. They ain't all over the track.
That's true. I mean, with Shane and these guys, most everybody runs a metric, Monte Carlos and stuff there, and they're first to give you a hand on helping you out. Regardless, most everybody in that class, really. Helps one another out as far as, you know, what tire pressure you're running or, you know, springs or whatever it is. I mean, they help you out as far as, you know, helping you run better. Until you get to running, you beat them, then they don't give you so much information.
I know. I saw an empty brown shell of Monte Carlo, I mean, hollowed out, no motor, no nothing, rolled up in front of the old family muffler shop in Palmetto. So I pulled in, talked to Clint Roberts, said, "Hey, man, what's going up there?" He says, "I got to build another one of them damn road warriors for Charlotte County Motorsports Park."
Well, it's exciting. You know, one of the first times I ever went to Charlotte County to watch the races, the road warrior class just stood out, like, from the rest of the deal because there was, like, 25 cars, and there's three wide through every turn.
I started to say, it was like the only class I saw most every week. At some point, somebody went three wide.
Yeah, I mean, it was constant. It was like a lot of racing going on, you know, not just like following the leader kind of stuff. And it's exciting, and I always look forward to that when we go there. It's cool.
Yeah, the fans enjoy it, all the three wide and sometimes four wide racing there. We got pretty hairy this past weekend. On the first lap, a couple of them tried to win it on the first lap, and luckily I think all of us here avoided the melee. But a couple of them weren't so fortunate, but they need some help to get back out there.
I know
Jesse.
Jesse's a bad guy right
ugly.
Here.
I'm the one.
Jesse, have you ever just waited on a guy to come back around to you?
Yes, I have. I'm going to tell you right up front, if you knock me out of the way, I'm going to go to the infield if I have to, and I'm going to wait on you and hit you. I'm going to tell you that. I'm the only SS guy out there.
I've been on the receiving
end of Social Security
that
guy. That's what it means. Social Security.
Oh, so he's going to get money no matter what happens. Okay, I got it.
And I don't know about me racing out there, but the people, they say, Jesse, it's exciting when you're out there. Whatever that means.
Well, usually we're pretty sure something's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Whether he's first or last, he's exciting.
All right, we have a pool this week. Who will help Jesse hit first?
What's it cost to have a car? What's one of those cars? What do people have into them?
Go ahead, Shane.
I know. Tell us how much you got in your car, Shane. The tails are about ready to begin, right?
Now we're playing liar's poker.
Yeah, exactly.
You can buy one and a reasonable sixth place car for about $2,500, $3,000. You can build one like we've got now with the crate motors in it for about $5,000. By the time you go buy this and that. Now, I personally got less than that in mind, but that's about what you can do and build one for. Hey,
it's cheap fun. My golf clubs cost more than my first car.
when it comes to the price of the car, in fact, I'm going to start with you, Wally, because this has been an issue that's been covered on some of the message boards lately, and it's also something that's been getting kicked around at Charlotte County Motorsports Park big time, and that's the tires. Now, I know for a fact, you know, that you're the low-budget racer here. You're the one that's coming up through the ranks. What is your feeling on tires? What do you think they should be? Are you happy with what we have now, or would you like to see an improvement on that?
Well, the tire situation, and these guys will probably test it. I mean, talked about going on the takeoff tires from some of the super stocks and all that, but that's not going to work. I mean, it tears up more equipment. It's harder on the stuff. And, you know, we're on the 70 series street, you know, radial tire. Just hard coming up with some of the summits now with Goodyear having their issues. I guess now they're open back up as far as going to be getting us some tires, the cost to get them. But the talks of going with the racing tires is, I don't think, going to be the way to go for none of us as far as that. Hard to keep a handle of them.
I hear you. I see you all shaking your heads over that. So pretty much you all pretty much agree on that the racing tires are not the way to go.
No, street tires are going to have much better racing. The cars don't stick quite as good, and that's when we slide around and run into each other a little bit.
And in reality, isn't that part of the Road Warrior class, you know, to be on the street tires, to keep it affordable, and not to worry about beating and banging out there?
The other thing to add on to that, though, was that some of you guys have stepped up to that outlaw class that ran them bigger, wider tires and just, you know, shook their crank, buddy. You took care of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Shane. I mean, the first week, Shane, he
right was there, pounding on the rear bumper of the leader.
He was faster. Just getting by him is another thing. But I mean, he's definitely the fast.
Yeah, the outlaw street stocks. In fact, I saw Shane over at the gas station after the races, and I asked him, you know, that was a pretty good race. I'm surprised you kept with him. He goes, oh, I had something for him. And Shane was driving him real clean. And I had gone into the gas station, which has an Arby's, and all them outlaw street stock drivers were in there, and I walked in. And I was looking at him because I couldn't remember the guy's face. I says, okay, who's the guy that lost his feelings tonight? And he raised his hand.
Yeah, there were some big, heavy cars that tried to move out of your way compared to our Road Warriors.
Yeah. That's cool. And it's such a neat class and a great place to go. And you've noticed, I guess, not only because you guys bring a lot of people, but the fans are increasing. There's a whole bunch more people showing up at that track.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely noticed that the last few weeks. They just keep packing in there and packing in there. And even the cars, there's more cars in each class. It makes it, you know, makes you proud to go there every weekend with your car and race.
Yeah, it's got
to
be a lot of fun. And now, you guys normally invert by points after this first 4 weeks or so, so you got to start back a little bit. Where are you starting at nowadays? About row six, five, one?
Actually, I got lucky last week because I've had a bad couple of weeks, and I started on the outside pole. So,
oh, we'll see you later. Did you win that one?
Yeah.
I figured. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he won.
They usually put us to the back, though, because when we charge through the field, they love it.
That's it.
They
That's what everybody loves.
It puts on a good show. I mean, I know at times, and even then, because I've used to race in the Thunder Truck division also there, starting the point leader up front is no show for anybody. I mean, even back then when the truck count wasn't that much, you know, who wants to see the guy, the fastest guy, start up front and walk away from the field? Sure, it'd be great to win, but I think even as these guys contest, I mean, to win every week, I mean, and not have to pass nobody, that's not racing. I mean, that's why you go there, to have some fun and, you know, beat and bang a little bit with, you know, with some of the drivers.
Well, it's a lot more fun to start from the back than it is be up front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many of you now are going to really put forth the effort and you want to win that championship?
Well, I think all of them will, but well, Shane and Donnie's probably the more legitimate out of us four, I would say, right now. They've got the crate motors honking on pretty good.
Yeah, it takes a lot of good luck, too. I mean, like Shane, he's had a bad couple of weeks previous to this one, and you know, if that happens a few more times, you know, it's going to be hard to stay up there. So you just got to have a lot of good luck and keep working on the car.
Now, you guys get to run. How many times do they get to run this year, Jason?
Almost every week. I'm not really sure on how many races.
Probably closer to 34 then, probably.
Yeah, they run almost every week. But the other thing I wanted to get back on was Shane's bad luck there for almost 2 or 3 weeks. How many tires did you go through in that one night?
Three in the Outlaw Street Stock race, three racing tires, yeah.
Ouch.
At one point in time, he ended up, well, I think he lost one in the heat race too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got ran over in the heat race and popped one there, and then in the feature, I blew both back ones out.
Yeah, because I noticed, you know, all of a sudden I saw him getting real loose, and he parked it down the center of the X, and I was like, oh, he's got a flat tire, and I started looking a little bit harder. Somebody came up over the radio and says both of his back tires are flat.
That is one, both of them. What kind of you say 70 series tires, but is there a certain one that you guys go out looking for that you really want to use for this kind of racing?
Go ahead.
You don't have to tell.
Yep. The Winston Winters is what most of us have been running. They run the Summits and Kelly Chargers, but now okay. You can't find them anywhere. So we're
so you don't go get a Towmaster with a big old sidewall on it or something. Okay.
No, it's a 70 series. Like I said, Winston Winters is a good tire to get. It's just a matter of getting, as I said, issue of trying to find the right tires combination for that track. And
are any of these the old style recap tires that used to be?
No, those went out. Those went out.
Okay,
been out for a while. I used to run them back at Curry County Speedway years ago.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Here's something else, real quick, before we get going. A couple little things here. I want to start with what I think is the middle age guys, because this is what's so cool about the Road Warrior class is the age range is from A to B. I mean, A to Z. I mean, it's just all over the board. Wally, how old are you?
I'm 39.
And Shane?
37.
Okay, they're pretty close, but here comes the good one. Donnie, how old are you?
24.
And Jesse Gargis?
62.
62 years old.
Yes.
Social Security and racing a race car.
Full of vim and vigor.
And loving it.
But here comes the second part of my question. Such a wide age range, and also, I mean, you guys are running 25 laps. The other big thing is people have been wanting to run 35 laps or wanting to do the big races, you know, maybe the once-a-month thing or every other month thing, doing the 50-lap races. How do you guys feel about that?
Let them go, boys.
I'd go for any amount of laps they want to throw out there. I mean, every once in a while, it'd be fun to have something different, just, you know, to not keep the same 25-lap race going on.
What are you guys running to win for right now?
It's 200 to win.
200
to win. When there's 14 or more cars, 20 or more doubles the whole purse.
Very good.
That's not 400 to win and 50 to start. That's pretty good money.
That's pretty good for cars.
Yeah, we had 18 Saturday night, two more, and you know,
us two guys over here, we usually run for $25.
I was one spot away from getting 30. I thought I had it. But hey, in the Outlaw Street Stock, I mean, we all three of us racing. These two guys, Shane and Donnie, had bad luck, and actually Jesse. But I started in the back of the pack. Just got there late at night. Went out there in the heat race with the regular street tires and threw on my old street stock tires from 2.5 years ago. And just survived the race, finished sixth, ended up fourth, two cars got DQ'd. So $270 for a $100 entry fee. Hey, I hit a gold mine there.
There you go.
And I was right behind you.
You're exactly right. I was waiting for you to go by me. I thought you were going to take $10 of my money, but you didn't.
I tell you what, that's awesome, though, to have that much fun and get paid to do it, too, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, allowed me. Actually, I've got a set of used takeoff tires from one of the truck series guys so I can – you know, get my 2.5-year-old tires, you know, off them now. So for the next race, get out there and, you know, just be out there and survive and have some fun, though.
Yeah, that's
my
cool.
age, this is really a thrill, guys. This is fun.
Now you guys use regular gas, too, right? Or do you have to use racing fuel?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's, you know, that right there is the main thing. And it's like one of the things I've preached before when I've been here on you guys.
Yeah, keep it economical,
You know, keep it economical. Epic? It is an epic. The Road Warrior class is an epic. It's the longest running class at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park than any other class that's there right now, even, you know, with the limited late models and stuff like that. This class has been around forever.
And there's some legendary drivers, so to speak, from Charlotte County that have gone through there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rick knows a lot of them. But,
these guys are out to have fun.
When did you start? How old were you?
Oh, man.
I was 52 when I started, something like 54. My wife wouldn't let me race. I raced snowmobiles and stuff, but she wouldn't let me race. So one day I went out there, and she says, you know, I think I'll let you. We've been married 30 years plus. She says, I think I'll let you do that. Hey, 2 weeks later, I had a car out on that track. I didn't let her go back on it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I started when I was 15. At the old Curry County Speedway down in Naples, which a name you guys I'm sure know, Billy Bigley, and his parents owned the track there. And I was just joking with the guys in the back. I used to drive my car to the track. I actually got stopped by the cop one night and said, what are you doing? He said, trying to loot an officer. You know, I said, well, I didn't want you to see me if that's what you mean. So I had the car towed the track that night, and three or four of us, we drove back home that night with the car. No trailer, didn't have a tow vehicle then. We just, you know. That was my high school car. I drove to high school.
My cousin did a mini stock that way. He drove really close to his mom's car going, so it looked like he was being towed. how old were you when you started, man?
About 31, 32.
Really? You waited that late?
Yeah.
What did you do before? Did you work around the track at all or anything? Or?
I've been around racing most of my life. My dad's been racing since I grew up. I've always been around it. And he got out of it for a long time and then just seen a car one day and decided we'd go buy it and give it a try.
Cool. Well, you you ain't been there long, but how did you start racing go-karts or something?
No,
when really
I,
young,
I just started racing last year. It was my first season. My family had raced for years and years and been around the track all the time.
So you just bought a car and came on out?
Yep.
I could do this. What the heck? Well, that's cool, man. It's always nice, too, that even when new people do show up, you guys welcome them right in and have some fun with them and try to help them along. So that's pretty cool. Nice place to go visit and go racing.
You know, it's like, once again, if you want to see good racing, come to the Charlotte County Motorsports Park and watch the Road Warriors. Seriously. Because these guys, they're there to race, and that's what it is. You got to race. And these guys love it. They're not racing for a lot of money. And, you know, when I was doing it, I wasn't racing for a lot of money then either, and I wanted the trophy more than anything else. And almost all these guys are that way. They love to race.
Go around real quick, hit all your sponsors so we don't forget it, man. I know we want to take care of your guys and your girls.
A1 Lawn and Signs in One Day, Gator Radiator.
I'm working on my boss right now. I could use some sponsors, but it's pretty much out of my pocket. But I'm talking to the boss of Kitchens and Bath by Ambiance, Aaron Fort Myers, of course. But I'm working on them.
I got Titan Manufacturing, Dan and Sons Towing. Dan helps me out quite a bit. And JNC Auto, he paints my cars for me.
Now I got Royal Floridian Transportation, Fort Myers, Centennial's Transmissions, and Barefoot Graphics.
Now I have Short Track America, and I have Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com.
What number's right. your car, Jack?
Cool number 13XXX.
Yeah.
Actually, that's you know, when I first got involved in racing, I sponsored a street stock at DeSoto Speedway, and that's what he drove, 13X, Frank Fredericks, matter of fact.
Jason, buddy, what's coming up at Charlotte County?
This weekend, big twin 50 Lapter for the open wheel modifieds. Bobby says there's going to be, he thinks there's going to be more than 40 cars show up. I hope so, because I want to be busy. I want to get down there in the pits and see the drivers before they race. And I can remember when we had 30, 40 plus cars in any class, and I'm ready for it.
Tell us about when you're going to make these guys all stars on TV.
Well, coming up, listen to this, WFTX Fox 4 News out of Fort Myers, Tuesday, March 20th from 5 a.m. Yes, I know it's in the morning. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning, Wild Bill Woods from Fox 4 is going to be broadcasting live from the Charlotte County Motorsports Park. We're going to have cars on the track. I've already got quite a few drivers, a handful of them lined up. I'd like to get more. I do understand it is early in the morning. Drivers that aren't even affiliated with the Charlotte County Motorsports Park, if you can hear me, if you want to come down and be a part of this, I suggest you do. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to be doing it.
Are these guys going to be there?
I hope so.
I'm going to be there.
Wally's going to be there?
Yep. I'm trying.
Cool.
Shane?
That's early. Man, like,
aren't you retired?
Hey, I heard a rumor. You know, now some of the drivers there, and I know Anne Marie, who's a woman driver in our class, which really done good, and I read on the message board where she wanted to stay the park her car there overnight, and Jason admitted that he would stay the night and watch people's cars be security there. So
yeah,
let's see if he holds true to it.
I've already spoke with Bobby Deal. There is a gate. There's two gates. They are going to be locked. I will be inside with them, and I am registered to carry a concealed weapon, and I will be there all night long with
that
those cars.
Is
isn't that
scary,
like
scary.
No. Isn't that like Barney Fife working at the Cadillac dealership?
They only give me one bullet.
I'm going to be down with you guys. Because
that's all I need.
Keep his one bullet in his pocket.
Be down with you guys,
oh, my gosh.
I don't go to sleep till 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm just going to stay
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Jack will
later,
just stay there with you.
And we'll be down there.
Jack will give you a cup of coffee when he goes
Jack's
to bed.
Jack's
going to
come party with us. But, yeah, that's going on March 20th, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. We're going to have the big dedication for the big helmet
cool.
for Memorial Hill.
Being
painted right now. It is in the paint shop. Yeah, I called Bobby today, and they said they had to lift the thing with a crane. So it is definitely bigger than life. Everybody needs to take the time off that morning. Bring the kids out for it. Gives them all a chance to get on.
Bobby's willing to turn the lights on. Everybody should show
You got 30
up.
Seconds.
Absolutely.
Hey,
all
excuse
right.
to, excuse
Take
to miss
us out,
school.
Jason. Take us out, Jason.
Short Track America, Charlotte County Motorsports Park this weekend. Don't want to miss it. Big 50 lapper for the open wheel modifieds. And the Road Warriors are going to be there. Big old class of Road Warriors. Everybody's going to enjoy it. Come out and watch them. They love racing. And you love racing, too. Short Track America.
Real Racing USA.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, K-A-R-N-A-C.com.
Carnac.com.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Welcome back, Real Racing USA.
We're Rick, smoking tonight, ain't
man,
we, Bill?
We, well, we did six guys at once almost. That was like,
we do that.
You do make a lot of folks go by pretty quick. Hey, listen, we've got a treat here. We get a chance to talk to one of the young up-and-comers when it comes to the sprint car class. He's been running East Bay Raceway Park. He's been playing with the USCS program and actually going to go to Peach State Speedway coming March 17th for that USCS program up there on the asphalt. So we'll get a chance to talk to Stephen Darvalix. I don't know, Stephen hasn't been running all that long, have you, Steve?
No, we've been running sprint cars for about 3 years now. This will be our third full year.
What did you do before that? What kind of racing did you start in?
We started in go-karts up at Dirt Devil Speedway. We ran a couple of years up there. And
didn't you go do some world karting shows?
We ran one time over in Municipal Stadium in Daytona.
That's what I thought I'd heard and seen you first, but that was cool. What got you into sprint cars, man? What made you decide to go, okay, I'm going to go right to the top and jump in a sprint
car? I got to thank my good friend Casey Johnson. I started out helping him a lot on the car and just being around it. And
you still talk to Casey?
All the time.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's about his third year in college now for an engineering degree. And
which college is he going to?
UNC Charlotte.
Charlotte? Yeah. Got to be up there near him, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it work out
a
lot.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Casey in years, man.
They did the late model thing for a couple of years.
Well, I was working out at DeSoto when he did that, yeah.
I don't think I've seen Casey, literally seen him since I shook his hand and we handed him the award at East Bay that one night.
He was down this year for the Winter Nationals. He helped me out all 3 days.
Cool.
Is he doing any racing up there or anything?
He had a limited late model deal at Concord, and they kind of quit that. His grandpa passed away.
Oh, that's a shame.
But he'll start back up when he gets graduated from college. He's really concentrating on school.
Get
a hold of him, and we'll get with him, man.
Right here in this room, their first interviews ever was Casey and Danny Martin.
Hell yeah.
And it's still online. I was listening to it the other night. I said, okay, you guys sit down. How y'all doing tonight? Oh, we're doing real good.
Yeah, it's funny how they change as they go. Now, in this racing thing and getting into a sprint car and getting out there and getting laps and starting the very first time, what was it like the first time you had your own car, you strapped yourself into it, got pushed off, and you rolled out on the track?
I was a little nervous. I mean, it's the power of those cars are breathtaking. It's we got the hang of it. About 10 races, we were up to speed, but it's definitely a different animal.
How many times did you spin out in your first practice?
We jumped right into a race. We didn't do any practicing, but
I'm sure that made them
really good.
You went
straight from a cart into a sprint car.
Yeah, we started in a limited sprint car. We ran down in Okeechobee when that track was still around. We did a couple races there, and when Casey was getting out of it, we got his 360 car. We bought it from him, and we started up there.
Proven winner car, too.
Top-notch
machine right there.
Yep.
So what was it like? I mean, climbing, I've asked this of a lot of guys, but the transition of the speed, the G's, the turning and everything from the kart to the sprint car.
Well, in the go-kart, it's pretty forgiving, beating and banging around on karts, and you really can't do that in the sprint car, but it's amazing. I mean, there's no other kind of race car like a sprint car.
No doubt about it. I mean, I've said that to a million people. You know, you can watch. I mean, I love dirt late models. Dirt late models, to me, are the best cars out there. But a sprint car, it's a late model still looks like a car.
Right.
A sprint car is a race car. Yeah, it's nothing you can compare it to anything else. It's not an Indy car. It's nothing else. It's a sprint car.
Yeah, you know, that's fascinating. When we were talking to DJ Hosel, that this is amazing to me. It's still, I can't get it. You're going down a track, zillion miles an hour, and you can change your setup by turning screws or something. Yeah, that just fascinating.
That was the other thing that you had to get used to in that sprint car, changing your wing, brake bias and all that, and still holding on to a steering wheel like this going through
and
the dirt.
Tear-offs. Yeah, that was hard to get used to, letting go of the wheel to pull a tear-off. And in the go-karts, there was no suspension to really adjust, and we had to learn about shocks and torsion bars and all kinds of adjustments to...
When you pulled out and got that first run and hit the gas, that vibration, because I know there is one, there's a vibration there that just kind of gets you, at first you're kind of like shaking. You can't really see anything. How'd you work through that?
Casey actually let me take a run in this car in a practice at East Bay, and I got in and fired it up, and I really wasn't expecting. I stepped on that gas pedal, and I had to get off of it and take a breath.
Dad, I got a little more power than you expected.
It really put you back in your seat. I mean,
I got to ask Steven Sr. here, as we call him. How was it whenever you saw him go from the go-kart and sit down in that sprint car?
Well, it's very nerve-wracking, and it still is to this day. You know, I can't – it's hard to explain. I mean, it takes my breath away. You get the dry mouth. I get the shakes. Once I get through the first lap, then everything kind of smooths out a little bit.
What was it like when he had that first big tumble, I imagine, there?
Unimaginable. In fact, I believe it was Mobile.
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile,
on the pavement.
And he was, he was actually running third place. He was running with Kevin Swindell, and it was a remarkable race. The rest of the field looked like they were tied to trees. But he come around a lap car. Lap car came up on him, and it ejected him probably 30 feet in the air right out of the track. Landed between two trees, and before I got to him, he was already at the top of the track.
That's a wild ride, though.
It was like, have you ever rode the Kumba at Busch Gardens?
No, I'm actually...
That's exactly what it feels like when you're going through those barrel rolls.
I've been lucky enough to be in a sprint car, and I felt the wind get under that wing and lift it, and it's a scary sound because it suddenly gets really quiet.
I wasn't here in the beginning. What series are you racing with?
USCS.
When you were...
He's traveling with them. He's
Mobile and all that. That's with the USCS.
Are you going to be basically doing the pavement deal?
We're going to concentrate a lot on the pavement this year. We built a newer kind of car. We were running our dirt car on the pavement, and we built a split bar for the
asphalt
for the pavement. Yeah.
And now you said you'd only had like 12 maybe races in an asphalt car.
Yeah, Kenny Adams kind of talked us into coming out there. We weren't really going to do it, and he just kept egging it on, so we got into it.
That's it. People like that will do it, too, man.
You ran 15th at DeSoto, right?
Yeah.
That had to be a thrill out there running DeSoto.
That was our first time in the new car, and we went 30 laps straight, and being a rookie with their series, we had to start in the back. So we started 23rd, and the car was excellent. I mean, I couldn't ask for more.
I talked to a lot of guys that run Sport Allen and a lot of guys that run DeSoto. And that's one of their favorite tracks to run on the pavement is DeSoto, because some of them said, Sport told me, if I hit this setup just right, I never lift.
And there's room for mistakes.
Oh, and that's TBA, right?
Yeah, TBA, right.
That's awesome. That's an awesome group, though, isn't it, to run with TBA?
Oh, yeah, they're real experience on the pavement.
So are you running, like, the whole season with them? Or
we're going to hit whatever we can. We're not going to concentrate on any kind of points or anything.
Oh, okay.
Whatever's available. We're going to be
experience
doing
this year.
Yeah, trying to build a resume, so to speak.
Yeah.
We're going to be racing that truck series you were talking about a little earlier.
Uh-huh.
And
So you're just one of these guys.
Yeah. He's going to steal the money.
And let's go.
He's going to steal the money.
He's
going where the money's at.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Steve has a lot of good sponsors.
Yeah. Talk to us about those then. Who's helping you out?
Well, I work for a company, Godier Fabrication. They supplied us with our trailer, and they help us out with our parts and stuff. And Cinemoves, they're a major motion picture company in Hollywood and all over. And just got a couple guys in Venice helping me out here recently, Roger Bryson and Chris Bryson. We're going to race trucks for them, and they're helping me a little with the motor program on the sprint cars.
Which truck deal are you running?
It's going to be a number 41 for the fast. We're going to run it DeSoto.
Oh, okay.
So
fast car pro truck.
I get to see you a lot.
I actually just tested one last Thursday And I only got about five laps, but it's going to be a little bit to get used to. I actually have to slow myself down to get used
right,
to that.
Right, exactly.
Well, let me ask you now. How is it that you acquired the sponsors? I mean, is this something you like go work at or they just come to you?
Pretty fortunate. My dad here's helped a lot. I mean, he's a great PR guy for me, and I actually work for one of my major sponsors. I'm a welder, fabricator.
Yeah.
We build race car trailers, game right. trailers for the carnival, and that's how.
That Mulligan? Helps a lot.
What's that?
Who you
no, that's
for?
Gaudier Fabrication.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to add, donating his money and the actual product is brought work to him as well. I mean, as far as everybody that we run with race car trailers, repairs, even orders on brand new ones. So it put us into a whole other ballgame.
Well, that's another thing that a lot of people don't realize in the racing game is not only do you provide a sponsorship for somebody else, but once that name's out there, if you can provide a service to the racers in the pits, right. It goes and it goes and it goes and it never stops.
Yep. Yeah, it's awesome. Well, man, all the best to you. I know you're going to have fun and go to Peach State. Peach State, I think it'll be your first time there.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the USCS has ever been there.
No, that's what I thought. And I didn't know if you'd been there for any other events or something. But right. That's pretty cool. Jefferson, Georgia, I'll get a chance to see you up there and see how things are going and talk bad about you or good about you coming next Tuesday. But that's going to be neat, and we're looking forward to seeing you out and about in some of the places you'll go because you'll get a lot of races in. You keep picking and choosing, you'll probably get 30 races in this year.
Yeah, we had 31 races in last year, and we're hoping to be racing every weekend this year, no matter what kind of car it's in.
Awesome. Whoa. Awesome deal, man. Steven Darvalix, folks, keep an eye out for him. Now, you're running two different numbers there. Asphalt's one and Dirt's a different one? Or you run the same number both?
Car number. Yeah, yep, same number. And just a little different body.
And it is?
32.
There you go. 32, Stephen O'Likes.
Before you go, what is the biggest difference as a driver? What is the biggest difference between racing on asphalt and racing on dirt?
On the pavement, you have to be a little bit more smooth. I mean, we have an advantage as coming from the dirt on the. I think racing against these pavement guys, where we're not really afraid when that car breaks sideways. We just keep in it. And
yes. Jeff Choquette. When Jeff Choquette went from racing dirt, because he raced over at Okeechobee and
East Bay
in the winters, and when he showed up for them first races in the asphalt, I told him, guys, you guys better watch this guy. He turned three.
Jeff Schofield was pissed.
Oh my God! This guy, he came out of nowhere. He knew. I mean, he was driving through the turn four at New Smyrna on that asphalt. Like he was on East Bay. I mean, watch him in there.
He's doing the same stuff at
DeSoto,
yeah.
We did Steve did a wingless race at Charlotte, and he got a lot of admiration from other drivers after the race. You know, he did it sideways. It's not the way to do it, but, whatever it takes to get it done.
Because you don't get freaked out when it goes sideways.
It's more comfortable, actually.
Yeah. To you, that's what it's supposed to do.
We're running our dirt car on the pavement, so it's got a little bit of a tendency to get sideways, but it's pretty fast like that.
One last question. I'm asking this of your dad. How's mom doing with all this?
His mom is real supportive with it. Real supportive.
She actually helped us out a bunch this year, get to the Winter Nationals.
I know she is, but
she loves it.
Most moms get a little nervous, and them sprint cars get going around. All right, man. Appreciate you stopping by and coming out and talking to us.
Thanks for having us. Thanks very much.
Been a blast. We will look forward to talking to you on the other side. Folks, don't go far. We will be right back with Tim Lake and Scott Jackman.
That's right.
That's right.
Turn to the power of Short Track America Motorsports Entertainment, Carnac.com, for all local and national racing news from all over the world.
That's Carnac, KARNAC.com.
Carnac.com.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Real Racing USA live at the Snook River Grill. Trying to get the phones to work. Hey, Jack. Hold on one second. You guys talk. Let me see if I mess with the phone.
Wait here. What's the matter, man?
No, we're back from break.
Oh, we're back from break.
All right, we got a dial tone.
We had a technical malfunction here. All right.
Well,
does it amazing. Why is that? The dirt guys have better T-shirts and better graphics on their cars than asphalt.
It's amazing
cars.
Because, I mean, you look at the graphics that. Well, it started out with the T-shirts. They always the T-shirts. I mean, Stan Kolen even with the track shirts.
Yeah.
The best looking shirts.
I mean, look at them World of Outlaws graphics on them.
No doubt.
T-shirts,
no
man.
Doubt.
It's awesome.
Yep. The cars, and I mean, the open wheel modified, the dirt open wheel modified, the dirt late models. Now, there's quite a few of the super guys.
Cool.
What's that? You need a pen?
Hang on, I got to get these guys to sign our big
banner. Big banner.
Our big banner up here that all the.
So, Jack,
stars get assigned.
Next week, Bill's not going to be in the house. We're going to have Jason Beckner here. You said I'm going to run the board, and I haven't got a clue how to do it.
You're going to get a crash course.
Bro. Oh, crash is going to be the main word in that course. But Jason's going to be here to help us.
Yep.
What do you got planned for next week, Jack? Because, you know, I've got a busy schedule. I've got work and all this stuff to do.
Thanks
a lot, guys.
Good night, guys. We're going to have, I know that we're going to have some folks from the IMA karting organization are going to be here.
All right.
They're going to bring a couple of carts. And the thing is
we're going to race it around the room?
No. Here's the thing. Before you get to that, Bill, I just want to finish this thought. The thing is that we talk about the kids and the kids being the youth being the future
youths.
Of this game. And
the youths.
So all these people, all these kids, week after week, they came through carts. And like you were saying, we have 16, 17, 18-year-old kids racing stock cars in Florida that have 10 years experience.
10 to 15 years experience.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Been racing since they were 3, 4 years old.
So we're going to go there. What do you got, Bill?
Let's find out how much experience they get up in Lake City as Tim Lake joins us. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Tim, are you still up there scraping ice off your windows?
Man, I'm telling you, the temperature's dropping.
All right, Tim.
What are you doing down there?
Now, you've just taken over as the general manager, I guess, at Columbia Motorsports Park.
Well, that's correct.
What's this game going to be like?
Oh, man. Well, right now, we are 3 days away, and I can tell you I'm still working.
Hey, listen now.
I'm getting off the phone with you and going to the tire room and picking tires for people.
Oh, there you go. Now, what's your experience to take on this kind of position? What kind of things have you done in racing before?
Well, up till about a year and a half ago, just as a fan, and I guess I talked enough smack to Don Nerone enough where finally he told me if I wanted to get me a bite, just to get as big a bite as I wanted, and he pretty much threw me in the middle of everything he could, and I thought I could wear him out on trying to wear me out, but it hadn't worked yet.
So you're in a bar brawl now, aren't you?
That's a lot of wearing out, Don Nerone.
I'm telling you, I've pretty much tried to be his go-to man as much as I can, but I've done a little bit of everything now. By the end of last season up here at Columbia Motorsports Park, about the only thing I haven't done at Fast Car is change tires. Well, come Speed Fest and Speed Week, so I got a big mouthful of that too.
Yeah. Now, Columbia Motorsports Park, for people who don't know, is in North Florida,
just off Exit 114.
Yeah,
if I remember right.
Right off I-75, not too far from I-10. It's pretty much centrally located, really, between, say, Gainesville and Valdosta, Georgia, and Tallahassee and Jacksonville. It's in a great location, I think.
Between Gainesville and Valdosta.
Yeah.
We're about two exits south of Lake City.
Yeah, great location.
Ellisville.
Ellisville. There's a booming metropolis.
Say Lake City.
So you get fans. You get fans from all over the place.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've got fans and racers that we've got racers that come all the way from Savannah, from Valdosta, Douglas, from that area. We got racers that come all the way from Tallahassee, and fans just the same.
Hey, listen now. How long's that track been? The asphalt track been there?
I believe it opened in '76.
That sounds about right, because I know it was just behind East Bay's opening, I think.
Correct.
So what is your main agenda?
Define agenda, because I haven't found one yet.
Well, what did you see that you thought you needed to work on and fix first?
Well, right now, I mean, whenever we bought this track 3 years ago, pretty much we knocked down what was falling down and cleaned up what was left. We put up the wall, put up a new lighting system, pretty much sat back. I mean, when we got here, they had an average car count of 15 cars. And it grew to, I'd say, I don't know exactly what our average was. I'm going to say last count was probably an average of 37, 38 cars. So, I mean, we've come a little ways. There's certainly more to go. I mean, we've had our nights where we've had as many as 70 cars.
You know, we talk to a lot of racers all across the state of Florida and across the country, but mostly like the super late model guys down here in the state of Florida. You ask them what their favorite racetrack is, and they say Columbia.
Absolutely. It's a racing racetrack. You can go side by side. There is an outside passing lane. I fell in love with this track whenever I got here. Just watching the local racers race here, from the Ganeys, John Rowling and those guys, they put on an amazing show up here. I mean, there is two lines here, from the Sprint cars to the Sunbelt Series to the Goodyear Challenge Series. I mean, it doesn't matter. And, you know, another reason why the racers like coming up here is not just the track. It is fans up here love big shows. You know, so when the Sunbelt and the Goodyear and the Wing Sprints come here, I mean, the fans come out. They come out in droves to see it.
Well, I know it's a great place to sit and watch the races. How many can you hold nowadays?
Well, we just put in some additional seating. I believe we're at 2,000 right now.
Well, that's not bad. That's a nice little group of people.
That's why I like this track. It's unique in its own way because, you know, there aren't a whole lot of – we just put in a couple of bleachers, but, you know, generally it's bring your lawn chair and set it out.
Basically built in a bowl, right?
Have you guys been there?
Style short track.
Long time ago.
You been there, Rick?
No, I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's like you got
– I went the other way.
The Grand says it's almost like one of them North Carolina tracks that's in a bowl.
Is
because
it?
That's correct.
You walk down to your seat, not up to your seat.
That's exactly right.
This weekend you got Fan Appreciation Night. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a special promotion we do. Probably the biggest convenience store is a chain of stores called S&S Food Stores, and they do a joint promotion with us where we put out free tickets, and anybody that makes a purchase at S&S Food Stores gets a free ticket. We put out about 12,000 of them, so that tells you what this Saturday should be like.
Yeah, I can remember last year I went up to my daughter's graduation up at FSU, and we stopped at one of those stores, and I looked, and they're sitting there right at the counter.
That's correct.
Awesome deal right there.
That's pretty cool. And I take it you're getting a lot of response from the community and some of the businesses and stuff staying involved or getting back involved with the track now that you've taken over and started working with it.
Yeah, for the first 2 years that we owned this track, we pretty much kept a low profile up here. I mean, we really didn't go out. I mean, we were trying to, you know, 15 cars when you're starting out, that's not much of a show to put in front of people. So you really don't push for the fan that hard. You're pushing for the cars. Trying to get the show better, and we came a long way last year, and we packed the house a couple times for a couple big shows, and you know we plan on building on that this year.
All right, Tim, we're going to wish you the best of luck. We're right up against it right now. Of course, we'll stay with you all year, checking in and out with you. Have to go up there and catch a couple shows.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you not only on Tuesday night, but on Saturday night live after the races once that gets going here.
That's
going
to be kicking up here in a couple weeks. A
few weeks, Short Track America starts
Bill,
that again.
Bill inadvertently played the intro for that one.
No, so it was a spot
we do,
that I played.
What we do, Tim,
it,
is we so have a show that we do. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Short Track America has a Saturday night live after the races that will kick back off here in a couple of weeks, and we call up promoters, race car drivers, and you know, like right after the races are over on Saturday night and get live updates about what happened that night. So we'll be talking to you during the year with that deal, too.
Sounds like a plan. Keep me posted. I'll make sure that you got the drivers and myself involved.
All right, Tim. Thanks
Way
a lot,
cool,
bro.
Man.
All right, guys. Thank you. Good luck.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, dudes.
Yeah, Lake City. Lake City is fortunate up there in that area. You got about 10 miles apart, or even, actually, it's probably less. I think it's 8 miles.
Yeah,
we got lost up there, but Lake City there. Just before you get to Lake City, you got Columbia Motorsports Park right off the interstate. You go down the road about 7 miles or so, and you got
Lake instead of making a left, you make a right.
Yeah, Lake City Speedway, a dirt track,
North Florida Speedway,
or North Florida Speedway,
the coldest speedway in the state.
Oh my God, that is the coldest adventure I've had.
Me
man,
too,
no doubt,
no
man.
Doubt.
It was cold.
I've been to some cold racetracks, but that was the coldest.
My ears were frozen within minutes after getting out of the car.
We stayed there 3 hours, and I said, Jack, I bet if we leave now, we can make the B Main at East Bay.
Yeah, it was a piece of cake.
We were there 3 hours.
2 hours, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It was
so,
cold.
So I think we're going to talk to Scott Jackman, who is with the Goodyear Challenge Late Model Series. Scott, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going, man?
Oh, great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
We're doing what we always do.
We're doing what we do on Tuesday night.
All right.
So you're getting all set for the big show at Lakeland this weekend with the Goodyear Challenge Series?
Oh, man, I'm really excited. It was a late add-on, of course.
Right.
They call it one of the support series. They had cut the laps on their show, so they wanted some late models there, and I was glad to oblige them.
So you guys are running a 100-lap race there?
Yes.
And it'll follow the Hooters Pro Cup race?
Yes, it will.
Gotcha. And
Scott.
Go ahead,
Rick. It's Rick Angies.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, bro? Good. Hey, man, you have been put up to it, man. I mean, you have – this is your year in stock car racing. You're running three series – with the Goodyear Challenge Series, this has got to be something special for you.
It is. It's kind of hard to describe, really, trying to keep the three series separated in your head, I guess you could say. You get a phone call from one driver, and you have to ask them which series you're talking about or whatever. But I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy the challenge, really.
Well, it started off early for you. I mean, right away this weekend with the rain at DeSoto.
Yeah, it was kind of an auspicious beginning, but we were able to reschedule, which was really tough because I don't have too many open weekends, so I got to work with the weatherman and try to get through this year.
Now, you started out, you basically were an official with all the series, of course, Fast Car and all that. What's it like being in charge now?
It's actually a good deal. As just being an on-track official or something like that, you pretty much know what you have to do. You got a set assignment. Being the race director, you go in expecting nothing, really. You hope for the best. You hope you see the best race you've ever seen in your life every time you go to the racetrack. And, if you have problems along the way, then you have to deal with them as they come up. But most of the time, it's very minor, once you interact with drivers beforehand, afterwards and all that. But once they, pull out on that racetrack, that's a number, and you have to leave it at that. They have to understand that right, wrong, or indifferent, a call has to be made on the racetrack, and it may upset them, but it's nothing personal.
Now, Scott, this is Bill Green. You've done almost everything I think you can think of when it comes to working a series or a traveling group of racers, when it comes to anything from corner work to flag work to tech or whatever. Without giving anything away, what's your favorite part of this job, so to speak, and which part makes you feel like you're giving back a little bit maybe and making it better for the racers and the fans? Take your time.
I guess just trying to set a standard, really. What I expect out of a series myself, we're under the Fast Car banner, and we need to perform, and the bottom line is that everything that's expected of the drivers is not just to go out and race clean and race hard and all that, but there's autograph sessions, there's, you know, the way the cars look and how the drivers behave and all that is all a part of it. And I feel like when we get that in a consummate package all together where they're all doing that, which the Goodyear series has been a shining example of that, I think, that, you know, it gives you a sense of pride and, you know, you build a fan base that way, which I feel like we have a real good following, especially just talking to Tim up in the Lake City area. When we have a race up there, the fans just come out of the woodwork.
That's awesome. Now, you also have a great core of people working these series with you, man. You better thank them and talk nice about them real quick or they're going to get at you.
Hell yeah. Of course, my wife, she does all the legwork and I get all the credit. all the paperwork that's involved. Just like we did this past weekend, trying to get two series started and everything that's involved with that. And, of course, she's on the computer and the phone and all that, trying to get everything ready. I'm just kind of going through things in my head.
I know there's a lot of it, man. That's what I'm saying. There's a bunch of people that help make it happen. There's no doubt.
Yeah, Derek and Micah, who came over with the Mini Stock and Sportsman Series. Rick and Melody Hall, of course, help us on the Goodyear Series. Butch and Barbara Pierce have been a great asset to us. Butch is my lead tech man on the Goodyear Challenge Series. And they're just good people to work with. And when we started this, when I was given the opportunity to direct, you know, that was I sat down with Butch, and the first thing we decided was, let's have fun.
Well, now wait a minute.
Night. Absolutely.
Your middle name is Fun because you've been riding around the country for a long time with one Todd Hutto, who I might mention, happy birthday, just turned 40. And you guys have always been known to, especially at unwinding after the races, somebody's always pulling something on somebody.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's one of the things I missed about Todd not being around. We did have a good time. Todd's my best friend, and I miss him not being there on the series, but you know he's got bigger and better things planned, and I understand that. But we do we enjoy, and you know it's just like I said, you interact with the drivers before, during, and after the races. The officials, we sit around and bench race. You know, how can we do this different? How can we do that different? Or whether it's just you know having a cold drink and telling jokes or whatever. It's just a lot of fun.
Man, I appreciate you taking time with us. I know we didn't give you a whole bunch of time. We bumped up against the top of the hour already, but we'll get you back, talk some more later on about the
get
the
him shows. In studio.
Yeah, we should get you in here. That'd be kind of cool.
Get
bring
the whole,
you and the wife.
Get the whole crew
get the
in
wife
here.
Talking
so you're
about
have to
you.
Take off work early on a Tuesday night and get Becky and the whole crew and get down here.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. I appreciate y'all having us on tonight.
Cool.
All right, man. We look forward to seeing how things go in Lake City, and we hope that everything after that
Lakeland.
Helps. Oh, they're in Lakeland this week. I'm
yes,
sorry.
We will be in Shoot. Lakeland.
Yeah. Yes.
We will see you there.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Scott Jackman, ladies and gentlemen, the man who makes it happen.
While Bill's giving out birthday accolades, we got to say happy birthday to Mary Jo McKenzie out there in Spokane, Washington. She's a regular listener of ours out there in Spokane, and I know you got some more.
Mary Jo?
Oh, we got them all over the country, man. There's been some cool people listening.
Tom Thornton from Chicago.
That's right.
It's his birthday today. Mediocre.
We tell you,
not really. It was a really good show.
Before the show, we talked about something, and we were going to make a little statement.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay? Now, we didn't want to talk about this in the beginning because we didn't want to piss anybody off and have them go away. But the kids are probably not paying any attention now.
I did 20 years in the Air Force, and I think that there is something that has been kind of shoveled under the rug and is kind of getting swept away, and people are not paying attention.
As I was telling you guys, I seen in the last 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is, I have seen at least 20,000 yellow, magnetic, pink magnetic, and other multicolored magnetic stickers that say support our troops. And with what's been on the television all over all the networks and everything else in the last week or two, it just makes me think that if you really, really, really want to support the troops. And we hear people on the message boards talking about this too, support your troops, you know. And if you really want to support your troops, send a letter to your House of Representatives member or your state representative, anybody in government, and tell them to get them bozos in Washington to take care of our troops in the friggin' hospital.
It's a damn shame.
It's absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, Bush is talking about lowering veterans' benefits, and that's just total bull because
And you're a veteran,
guys,
too.
I'm a veteran. These guys are putting it on the line every damn day. They're losing limbs. They're losing their sight. They lose their families, even though nothing happens to them. You know, being in the military.
In 5 years, my
you were a career officer. Yeah.
No, not an officer. I was an enlisted guy.
Okay,
but
he worked for a living.
In 5 years, my medications, a monthly medication, all it cost you $2 for a 30 days worth of medication, whether it was 3 pills or 90. But now it's already up to 8 in 5 years.
And now what we're talking about here,
and it should be going down.
That's like, but guys, what we're
killing some guys that are on a fixed income.
Yeah, but what we're talking about, guys, we're not talking. I understand that, and that's cool.
You got 12,
but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about guys with their arms blown off, their legs blown off,
going to a rat infested Walter Reed,
absolutely
ceilings leaking. Write your congressman. Write the president.
And if you see another segment on. What's that bimbo who died?
I don't know.
Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him to get off it and get on to covering something like our veterans, okay?
Bill,
enough said.
Play the music.
I think maybe I should.
Real Racing USA. We'll be back here at the Snook River Grill. Bill will be in Las Vegas. Bill, have a good trip. Be careful,
ladies
brother.
And gentlemen, the things I heard here are not the entire Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Good night now.
All alone at the end of the evening, when the bright lights have faded to blue, I was thinking about a woman that loved me. I never knew. turn.